Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, January 27th, 2026. Let's begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, Champaign Fire Department, bigger budget requested due to staffing needs. Injury-related absences and OT overtime are a major problem at present. This article is written by Jana Wiersema, who can be reached through email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Champaign. Is 13 an unlucky number? Depends on who you ask. For the Champaign Fire Department, it's certainly not an ideal figure, given that it's the number of personnel who are out due to injuries as of January 13th, 2026, according to Chief Tyler Funk, T-Y-L-E-R, last name Funk, F-U-N-K. Eight are expected to be on leave through at least the end of the fiscal year, while the other five are expected to be absent for 1 to 3 months, he wrote in a report to the City Council. Furthermore, another individual has been tasked with a special duty assignment expected to last through June 15, 2026. Combining duty injuries and the special duty assignment, CFD, Champaign Fire Department, has 14 unserviceable personnel, which equates to approximately 13% of CFD's authorized fire suppression staffing, Funk said. While the percentage of unserviceable personnel may seem small operationally, since July 1st, this translates to having 4.6 fire suppression personnel unavailable each shift. The department has depended on overtime staffing to cover these absences, with about $95,000 being paid in overtime each pay period. Consequently, the fire department is requesting that the council amend the budget to include an additional $1.5 million to cover projected overtime costs for the rest of the current fiscal year, along with approximately $230,000 for surge hiring expenses. The total sum, which amounts to nearly $1.76 million, would be allocated from the general fund balance. There are several upcoming anticipated vacancies which will decrease the number of serviceable firefighters and place additional overtime burdens on CFD, Funk explained. Given the length of training time required for hiring and training new firefighters, city staff recommend surge hiring 4 additional firefighters. This means firefighter staffing will be temporarily increased above position control to reduce staffing shortages, improve the probability of hiring top candidates, reduce the impact of overtime, and improve work-life balance. It's estimated that these new firefighters would begin in April. The department expects that by fiscal year 2026-27, it will lose 2 firefighters due to retirements or resignations, meaning that only 2 of the 4 new positions will continue to be overhires, resulting in surge hiring costs of about $336,000 that year, Funk said. He added that staff from the fire department, the city manager's office, human resources, and the finance department have met regularly over the last 6 months to discuss possible solutions to quote-unquote overtime challenges. In order to address department overtime, CFD has been proactive through reductions in training requiring travel and moving staff off shifts, which have higher numbers of serviceable firefighters to shifts that have fewer firefighters due to duty injury, Funk said. Ultimately, the goal is to develop a menu of options to proactively reduce the need for additional overtime funding. He added that other potential solutions will take time and will require additional research from CFD before implementation. The City Council will vote on the proposed budget amendment Tuesday. The evening's agenda also includes a study session item on Champaign Fire Academy, an in-house training program piloted by the fire department with 2 9-week sessions in 2025. Champaign fire staff recommend that the academy become a regular program and are seeking the council's direction on whether to proceed with budgeting for this expense, wrote Lieutenant Grant Gula, G-U-L-A. CFA was created from a need to improve the quality of education for new CFD firefighters and to reduce the need for remedial on-the-job training if new CFD personnel attended outside academies, he said in a report to the council. The purpose of this pilot program was to determine if CFD could successfully operate a basic training academy that produced higher quality and more professionally prepared graduates at the same or lower cost of external academies. Gula noted that fire department officials observed a number of benefits from operating the academy, including the skill level and preparedness of graduates, the cost effectiveness of the option, and professional development opportunities for local firefighters serving as instructors. Operating CFA poses minimal impact on the current CFD staffing model, he said. Two personnel are placed on a special duty assignment for the duration of the academy, causing minimal impact to staffing and overtime. For these two positions, shift staffing is maintained through standard temporary upgrade and backfill procedures already in use for training and leave coverage. Additional instructors are primarily off-duty personnel, paid at their overtime rate, which has been accounted for in the CFA operating budget. In addition to students from the Champaign Department, the academy was also attended by individuals from the Charleston Fire Department, the Corn Belt Fire Protection District, and the Eastern Prairie Fire Protection District. 10 students graduated from the spring 2025 session as fully certified firefighters, and another 10 graduated from the fall session. All three outside agencies that have sent recruits to CFA have expressed their intent to continue using CFA going forward, Gula wrote. Also, through word of mouth alone, there are 7 outside departments that would like seats in the spring 2026 CFA iteration. And there's one photograph that accompanies this article. It's a portrait photo of Tyler Funk, a man I would say probably in his late 50s, early 60s, Caucasian, and he's wearing his firefighter uniform in front of the American flag. Next up, the headline reads, Unit 4 Schools, Fencing for Fields, Pizza for Students Approved. This article is written by Luke Taylor, and you can reach him by email at LTAYLOR@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Champaign. Central High School's McKinley Field and Soccer and Marching Band Field are set to see an upgrade with new fencing to support an aluminum fence that has proven itself too weak. Just the act of hitting it with a soccer ball has bent a lot of the fence, Champaign School Board President Tony Bruno said. That's Tony, last name Bruno, B-R-U-N-O. The aluminum has been styled to look like wrought iron, Bruno said, but it certainly isn't as sturdy. 29 panels of the soccer and marching band field's fence and 20 of McKinley's are set to be reinforced. They'll be supported by vinyl-coated chain-link fencing, like what currently stands on the inside of the existing fence at the west end of the soccer and marching band field. That section was replaced as a test run for this upcoming project. When a ball hits the fence or a person leans against it, they're leaning against the chain link and that's spreading the weight out and it's not causing the aluminum portion to bend the way it had, Bruno said. It's a practical solution to a tough problem. The repairs will cost $48,275, which was the lowest bid from a responsive bidder, quote-unquote, Main Street Construction. Bruno also said he'd like to open a discussion in the future about whether those fields should remain locked up or start being open to the public. I think that there are probably pretty good arguments to keep them locked and pretty good arguments to open them up, like all of our public parks, Bruno said. The project to install new fencing was approved at Monday night's Unit 4 board meeting. Also on Monday, the board approved bids for pizza services for the 2026-27 school year. The district's food service department works with local vendors to provide pizza for elementary and middle school lunches. Businesses that responded to invitations to bid supplied pizza for taste testing with Unit 4 students to confirm student satisfaction. Fourth grade students at Robeson Elementary tried out Domino's pizza and had an overwhelmingly positive response, according to documents provided to the board. Sixth and seventh grade students at Edison Middle School, however, preferred Jet's pizza after a blind taste test of both options. Administration reviewed bid submissions and found that Domino's was the lowest bidder for elementary schools at 99 cents per piece of pizza, and Jet's Pizza was the lowest bidder for all middle schools at 77 cents a slice. Those two businesses have already been supplying pizza for those categories of schools and will continue to do so after Monday's approval. The total annual cost for pizza lunches will be paid out of the food service account and will depend on how often pizza is served, according to board documents. The next headline reads, and it's actually just a large photograph front and center of the News Gazette for today. The headline says, Passing Game. And there's an older woman who's passing what looks like to be a Nike white autographed basketball to a gentleman in a sweatshirt and pants. The caption reads, Nancy Meeker, a longtime Illini fan of around 75 years, won the Illini Rebounders Booster Club's raffle for a signed basketball from Illini coach Brad Underwood. Meeker said she couldn't decide which of her grandchildren to give the ball to yet. The scene played out at Monday's luncheon at Holiday Inn in Champaign, and that photo is taken by Rob Cates for the News Gazette. The next headline reads, Episode 12, As Heard On, airing from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday on WDWS 1400 AM and streaming online at newsgazette.com. There's snippets, captions here with different related news. First up, the search for Sheila Boozer's successor as superintendent of Champaign Schools is nearing the end, Board President Tony Bruno said on Monday's edition of News Gazette Radio. I think we're real close, Bruno said, of an exhaustive process, quote-unquote, that resulted in 29 candidates applying from across the country. Its search firm actively recruiting two others, and one of the 31 being brought to town for a second interview late last week, helping the district's pitch an advertised salary range of $275,000 to $400,000 for a job that was to pay Boozer $252,209, 12 this year. I think it's money well spent, Bruno said. For me, I think getting a really, really talented person is going to take probably in this business, pulling them from a really good job somewhere else. If you want to do that, you've got to pay up. Bruno said the vacancy is maybe the most important job in our community for its 24/7 responsibility, 2,000 employees, and the community's children in this person's charge. Next up, after a stronger-than-expected storm dropped 7 inches of snow on Champaign over the weekend, motorists could begin seeing pavement again by midday today. Starting by early morning, the city's plan was to lay down some salt and other types of chemicals that once the sun comes up and traffic gets moving, should make the less treacherous driving than Monday. And it was too cold for de-icing chemicals to make a difference, Champaign Public Works spokesperson Chris Koister said. And the last kind of tidbit of information, with 5 teams in the top 12 of this week's AP Associated Press's top 25, including number 9 Illinois, Clark Kellogg puts the odds of a Big Ten team cutting down the nets in April at 60-40. The CBS analyst and former Ohio State big man gives unbeaten Nebraska and Michigan, which meet tonight, a slight edge. but was quick to add, Illinois is very hot. They don't have Kylan Boswell because of the broken hand, but they still are going to be formidable. Despite his 46-point effort at Purdue, Keaton Wagler's odds of winning National Freshman of the Year honors may be slim, Kellogg said, given that first-year Dookie Cam Boozer could be the frontrunner for National Player of the Year. An unbelievably deep, talented, impactful class, he said. The best I've seen since I've been broadcasting. And that was compiled by Jeff D'Alessio of the News Gazette. You can reach him by email at jdalessio@newsgazette.com. And again, now we're top of the morning now with Jim Rosso. Something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Questions, comments, concerns, you can always email jrossow@newsgazette.com. The sweet new ride that will be used by Salvation Army of Champaign County's Emergency Disaster Services, or EDS, EDS team, has been a long time coming. It's been 3+ years since work began on a proposal for state grants to make the purchase possible. The process was supposed to reach the finish line over the weekend until wintry weather interfered. Captain Kenyon Civils, that's K-E-N-Y-O-N, last name Civils, S-I-V-E-L-S, and Ed's team leader, Bill Dye, D-E-Y, or Day, D-E-Y, had planned a trip to Elkhart, Indiana, to pick up the $156,000 Ed's canteen vehicle that will be helpful in crisis situations. The revised schedule will have Civils making the pickup next Monday. This is our first one, Salvation Army board member Al Vogelsang said. It took a long time, but it's worth it. It's exciting. It's definitely an upgrade from Day's 2018 Toyota Tacoma, which is currently used by the EDS team. For one thing, it has a heater that works. If we go out to a fire when the temperature is like today, it makes it safer for us and the people we serve, Day said. It's a great opportunity just to serve our community, to be there to support first responders when there's a crisis. And there's a provided photo of a large emergency truck, almost looks like an ambulance. It's in red and white, and it says emergency on the side of the truck. Congratulations to them on finally getting that emergency vehicle. Next up, history. Area history. In 1976, Illinois' March 16 primary election is unlikely to result in a clear expression of support for any single Democratic presidential candidate. One reason is that delegate candidates in each of the state's 24 congressional districts have indicated support for a high number of presidential hopefuls and other public officials. In 2011, state taxpayers can use part of their tax refund this year to help low-income families build and buy their own homes, feed the hungry, or support state parks. Habitat for Humanity of Illinois is one of the newest charities to make the Schedule G list on state tax forms, which allows state residents to donate part of their income tax refund or add a few dollars to their tax bill for a favorite cause. In international history, today's highlight, on January 27, 1945, during World War II, Soviet troops liberated the Auschwitz and Birkenau Nazi concentration camps in Poland. In 1756, composer Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was born in Salzburg, Austria. That was 1756. In 1880, Thomas Edison received a patent for his incandescent electric lamp. In 1967, astronauts Virgil I. or Gus Grissom, Edward H. White, and Roger B. Chaffee died in a flash fire during a test aboard their Apollo 1 spacecraft at Cape Canaveral, Florida. And in 1984, Singer Michael Jackson suffered serious burns to his scalp while pyrotechnics set his hair on fire during the filming of a Pepsi-Cola TV commercial at the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles. The next headline reads, winter weather. Freezing cold to continue across much of the U.S., at least 28 weather-related deaths reported. This article is written by Charlotte Kramen and Russ Bynum for the Associated Press. Many in the U.S. faced another night of below-freezing temperatures and no electricity after a colossal winter storm heaped more snow Monday on the Northeast and kept parts of the South coated in ice. At least 28 deaths were reported in states afflicted with severe cold. Deep snow, more than a foot, extending in a 1,300-mile swath from Arkansas to New England, halted traffic, canceled flights, and triggered wide school closures on Monday. The National Weather Service said areas north of Pittsburgh got up to 20 inches of snow, and faced wind chills as low as minus 25 degrees Fahrenheit late Monday into Tuesday. The bitter cold afflicting two-thirds of the U.S. wasn't going away. The Weather Service said Monday that a fresh influx of Arctic air is expected to sustain freezing temperatures in places already covered in snow and ice. And forecasters said it's possible another storm could hit parts of the East Coast this weekend. A rising death toll included two people run over by snowplows in Massachusetts and Ohio, fatal sledding accidents in Arkansas and Texas, and a woman found covered in snow by police with bloodhounds after she was last seen leaving a Kansas bar. In New York City, officials said eight people were found dead outdoors in the course of the frigid weekend. There were still more than 670,000 power outages in the nation Monday evening, according to poweroutage.com. Most of them were in the South, where weekend blasts of freezing rain caused tree limbs and power lines to snap, inflicting crippling outages on northern Mississippi and parts of Tennessee. Parts of Mississippi were reeling in the aftermath of the state's worst ice storm since 1994. Officials scrambled Monday to get cots, blankets, bottled water, and generators to warming stations in hard-hit areas. The University of Mississippi, where most students hunkered down without power Monday, canceled class for the entire week as its Oxford campus remained coated in treacherous ice. Oxford Mayor Robin Tannehill said on social media that so many trees, limbs, and power lines had fallen that it looked like a tornado went down every street. A pair of burly falling tree branches damaged real estate agent Tim Phillips' new garage, broke a window, and cut off power to his home in Oxford. He said half of his neighbors had homes or vehicles damaged. It's just one of those things that you try to prepare for, Phillips said, but this one was just unreal. And there's a photograph looking down a stairwell, and there's a person with a bright red shovel shoveling snow. The caption reads, Miguel Estevez with Independent Construction clears an outdoor stairway Monday in the East Falls section of Philadelphia. That photo is taken by Alejandro A. Alvarez for TNS. Let's take a look at our weather forecast as a follow-up over the next few days. Today, 19 degrees, patchy blowing snow early, partly sunny. Wednesday, the high will be 18. This is tomorrow. The low will be minus 7. Partly sunny, west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday and Friday will be even colder. Thursday and Friday will be even colder. The high is 11 on Thursday and the low is minus 7, partly sunny. Friday, again, the high is 11, the low is minus 4, partly cloudy. Wind chill values as low as 20 below. And Saturday, slightly warmer, the high will be 17, the low is minus 1, partly sunny. Wind chill values as low as 15 below in the morning. Please stay warm, dry, safe. The next headline reads, and it's again another photograph, large room, people sitting at tables in bright orange. It's called Warm Regards. And the caption reads, despite the winter chill and snowy roads, a strong showing of fans turned out for Monday's Illini Rebounders luncheon at Holiday Inn in Champaign. There, Illini coach Brad Underwood talked about Keaton Wagler's performance, among other topics, during the team's weekend win at Purdue. That photo is taken by Rob LaCates for the News Gazette. The next headline reads, from Jim Dye's column, appointment of next local circuit judge just days away. Illinois Supreme Court Justice David Overstreet said he'll announce the appointment of a new local circuit judge this week or early next week. Overstreet told the News Gazette that a five-member advisory committee interviewed seven applicants for the post January 23rd. He said the committee, made up of three retired judges and two veteran lawyers, will pass on their recommendations to him, and then he will interview the top candidates. Overstreet declined to name the seven applicants. I've never done that. I know some judges do, but I don't do that, he said. Overstreet said members of the screening committee will be named, along with the lawyer ultimately selected to fill the vacancy of recently retired Macon County Circuit Judge Jeffrey, with a J, Geisler, G-E-I-S-L-E-R. Although Geisler is from Macon County, the appointee is by law considered a Champaign County resident judge who will run for election in November 2028 in Champaign County. But Sixth Circuit presiding judge Randy Rosenbaum recently disclosed that the appointee will hear cases in Macon County to prevent an unbalanced caseload between Champaign and Macon. Overstreet said the applicants come from across the Sixth Judicial Circuit, which includes Champaign, Macon, Piatt, Douglas, Moultrie, and DeWitt counties. The next headline reads, also from Jim Dye, another short piece. Self, SCLF, back at it. Current Kansas men's basketball coach Bill Self, reluctantly benched himself last week out of an abundance of caution, but the former Illini coach says he's ready to get back to coaching his team. I'm good to go, no limitations, said the 63-year-old. He was preparing to board the team plane last week when he started feeling what he called some very abnormal chest pains, quote-unquote. I'm thinking, based on what I had before, this can't be good, Self said. Urged to skip the January 20th road game to Colorado, Self got IV fluids at a local hospital and reported feeling much better. He watched the Kansas-Colorado game on television at home. Kansas won. Self has encountered a series of health issues since the 2022-23 season when he had a heart aorta valve replaced. In March 2023, he missed the NCAA tournament to undergo heart catheterization and have two stents inserted to address blocked arteries. In July 2025, he had two more stents inserted. People would be well advised to ask doctors about AFib because it's a health risk that can be effectively treated. Since then, Self has changed his diet and lost weight, but he said he's experienced atrial fibrillation, a common type of irregular heartbeat where the heart's upper chambers quiver instead of beating effectively, causing rapid, chaotic, and inefficient pumping, which can lead to fatigue and serious illness. Glad he's feeling better. This has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, January 27th, 2026. I'm Susan Muirhead, and I'll be back shortly to read part two of the News Gazette for you, so please stay with me. Thanks for listening. Stay warm and have a wonderful day.